side cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, text us. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stick around for that. Joining us now, he is our state auditor. He's running for re-election, but Andrew Sorrell joins us back again on the program. Andrew, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. Been down in your area twice in the last 2 weeks campaigning. One of those at Morrison's Cafeteria with a nice crowd, and be back down there again in 2 weeks for an interview with Coastal 150. So trying to do my best to get some name ID built up there in South Alabama.
The last Morrison's in America.
That's right. That's what they told me.
Yeah. I can't believe that didn't stand the test of time, but we're keeping the dream alive in Mobile. It's like Blockbuster Video, or I don't know, just these throwbacks, Kenny Rogers Roasters. There's like one left wherever. Hey, let's start here. How's the campaign going?
Oh, it's going really well. I've been in 66 of the 67 counties, and I'm scheduled to be in Covington County. That is my last county to complete my full tour of Alabama on this campaign trail. Scheduled to be there in a couple of weeks for an event. Most of the counties I've been to two or three times already. I don't know that I'll make it to every county twice, but I'll come real close. So doing a lot of the traditional grassroots campaigning that I've done. We filmed two new TV ads, one of which is ready to go. I think it turned out really, really well. I'm not going to spill the beans on what it is, but it's let's just say it's along the same lines as what I did 4 years ago. That'll go up on air soon. And the other ad is still being produced. So, I'm feeling good. The polling looks good. I'm one of just two constitutional office holders running for re-election. It's just myself and Young Boozer. So I've been joking with people, you're going to have five new constitutional office holders no matter what. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's keep a little experience in our statewide constitutional office holders and put me back in there.
Well, and you may be part of the what appears to be, it's probably going to be the most expensive state auditor's race in the history of Alabama.
You know, it's so funny. 4 years ago when I ran, that was the most expensive state auditor's race by a long shot. There was close to $1 million spent on the state auditor's race 4 years ago. And about 70% of that was my spending, my campaign spending. No one had ever spent more than $150,000 on a state auditor campaign in Alabama history. And we spent $700,000. And it looks like that is now going to even be dwarfed. So, yeah, the price tags on these statewide races, they just keep going up and up. But you see that when you go to book TV, the TV rates are all up from 4 years ago. Your digital advertising rates, everything, your mail pieces. You know, the post office has raised their price of their first class postage several times in the last 4 years. So campaigns are getting more and more expensive for people to run.
Well, I don't know how accurate it is, but I see some of the polling. And I mean, still at this stage here on March 20th, there's a lot of undecided still out there that, and I don't, you know, maybe it's just a product of the news environment that we live in, Andrew. People are watching Iran war coverage. They're watching, you know, shutdown at DSA lines. Just not a whole lot of engagement just yet on these primary races.
You're absolutely right. Every statewide race has between 55 and 75% undecided. Maybe even some of the more down, like the Public Service Commission, might even be slightly higher than 75%, might be 85%. But even your, you know, top of the ticket races, your United States Senate race, we saw a poll come out just a couple weeks ago that was 54-55% undecided for a U.S. Senate race. The one exception to the rule here is the governor's race. I think Tuberville is far and away the front runner in the Republican primary there. People pretty much know they're voting for Tuberville. If you force the ballot, it's like 72-7 with the rest undecided. The further down ballot you go, it's not uncommon to see 70% undecided. But look, that will change rapidly. You've got statewide candidates beginning to go up on air. Of course, Barry Moore's had the big ad buys. John Wall went up on air this week, I saw. And those undecideds are going to start making decisions. change. They may change their mind, but they're at least going to start answering that they have a favorite in the polling. And I remember in my polling, we got down to where it was just 30 or 40% undecideds for auditor 4 years ago. And I remember distinctly those undecideds broke about the same way that the decideds break, which is typical when you have an open seat and three candidates running in an open seat. So, yep, it's all the action is going to start happening. We are less than 2 months out from the primary now. Yesterday was 2 months out. So decisions will be made soon.
So you think that, you know, and just watching it, you think these undecideds are going to start breaking and it'll get down below? I mean, auditor, obviously, it's down the ballot and probably not a lot of people thinking, but even for some of these, like the high profile Senate race and the AG race, and it doesn't seem like there's a clear front runner, I guess, with the exception of the Trump endorsed races, but it's still, there's a lot to be determined.
Well, what you're going to see in the Trump endorsed races is, you know, Trump's endorsement of Barry Moore did not move Barry Moore's numbers hardly at all. Maybe they cost Steve Marshall 5 points in the polling or something. It's very minimal impact. What moved the numbers was Barry Moore spending $4 million telling everybody he got the Trump endorsement. Then you saw the polling numbers move. And now, indeed, you see Barry Moore leading the U.S. Senate race. And I think it's similar in the lieutenant governor's race. The fact that Donald Trump endorsed John Wall actually didn't move the numbers in the polling, not a single point for John Wall. Because the average voter has no idea who Donald Trump endorsed in the lieutenant governor's race. But now John is beginning to spend millions of dollars telling people that he has the Trump endorsement. So, yeah, that's going to help a lot of people make up their mind. I mean, I would say over half of Alabama Republican primary voters would say that the Trump endorsement would help influence their vote. In the more down ballot races like mine, you're not going to see Trump endorsement for, you know, treasurer or, you know, secretary of state or auditor or anything like that. Those are more name ID based. And thankfully, I ran 4 years ago, built my name ID up. And I think I'm starting with a much bigger lead this time. In fact, I was joking with my wife the other day. I don't know what it feels like to be in the lead for a political race. The last two races I've run, I've been behind until the very end and won at the very end. And I almost don't know what to do with myself. So now that I'm in the lead, joking, of course.
Well, I bet it's a lot of the same for you, at least. It's just kind of keep the foot on the accelerator and run like you're running from behind.
Yeah, you have to. You know, my opponent's working hard, and I don't want to be outworked, but I have the disadvantage, if you will, of I have to actually do my job and campaign while he just has to campaign. So, you know, I'm working at the Capitol and then trying to go do events in the evening and on the weekends. And 2 weeks ago, I had events all five nights, and we had the ALGOP meeting on Saturday. So that was a very, very long week. And just telling people what I've accomplished as state auditor and how I've saved the state money and how I've relocated the staff and not taken a state vehicle and left a vacant kind of extraneous administrative assistant position unfilled. And the good job we've done tracking state property, not losing it. You know, we are losing very little state property right now. And we've finished implementing the RFID chipping system on all the state's inventory, 300,000 inventory items. We are much more efficient with our audits now. Audits that used to be 5 weeks, audits we're completing in 2 weeks. Letting the staff do 4 day work weeks, because most of my staff is not staying in hotels. They are going out and doing audits and driving back home. We have auditors based in different places around the state. Having them work 10-hour days instead of 8-hour days saves a lot of driving time, much more efficient. So these are some positive changes I've made. And all those changes I just mentioned have allowed me to actually request a reduction to my own budget, which, as you probably know, in state government is a rarity, to say the least. I requested a 1% budget decrease, and the legislature and governor actually said no. They're actually giving me more than I even asked for. And I think that's the best testament I can have to how efficient I've been with my money, is other people are looking at my budget and saying, I don't even see how he gets by on that little money. We're going to give him more than he's even asking for because he's being so responsible with it.
That is a unique set of circumstances there. Hey, well, I got you here, and this was the talk of the town yesterday at the State House. But we had a Ernie Arborough, 63-35, mostly along party lines. I think six Republicans went with the Democrats to close the primaries. And, you know, the Democrats, they have their reasons for opposing it. What did you make of that vote? What do you, you know, talk about the merits of closing primaries and why you think that's something Alabama ought to consider?
Well, I'm a longtime party member. I got involved at the Lauderdale County Republican Executive Committee level when I was very young. I was 24 years old and joined that. So I've been a member of that since 2010, now living in Colbert County, of course. Been on the State Executive Committee since 2014, and has served, as you know, as the bylaws chairman for the Alabama Republican Party, where we've passed 42 consecutive bylaws. I'm 42 for 42 on bylaws changes with the party in the last 5 years, now under two different state party chairmen. And Scott Stadhagen made party registration a big part of his campaign for party chairman. It really resonated with the party, and for good reason. I remember I actually introduced a resolution 10 years ago with the Alabama Republican Party to close the primaries, and I believe it got 90% of the vote. This time, the party registration resolution we passed a couple weeks ago got 84% of the vote. So the Republicans in this state who are in leadership support closing the primaries. And the argument I heard from the well yesterday from the Democrats is you're disenfranchising voters. No, you're not. You don't have a constitutional right to vote in a primary. You have a constitutional right to vote in a general election. The primaries are for the parties to pick their nominee. People don't understand how this stuff works. Republicans should elect Republicans. Republicans should pick who they want to represent them on the ballot in November. And if you are a self-identified independent, then, okay, you are by definition telling us you are not a member of a political party, so you don't get to participate in picking that political party. Now, if you're an independent and you say, well, you know, the Republicans usually win, so I'm going to vote in the Republican primary, great. You're going to get registered. The first time you vote in the Republican primary, you're going to be registered to vote as a Republican. And if you ever want to change that, you can change it. You can change it to Democrat. You can change it to unaffiliated. The only thing this bill is actually doing is making you make your decision 60 days sooner. You can still vote in either primary you want. You can not vote at all. You can do whatever you want, but you got to know by 60 days out rather than walking in the day of and saying, I want a Democrat or I want a Republican ballot. You've just got to declare 60 days in advance. I don't understand why this is a tough concept for people to understand. You know, the Democrats, when they were in power, they didn't want Republicans picking their nominee, like happened in the 1986 governor's race. They didn't respond well to it. They threw their own nominee off the ballot and picked the person they wanted. Ended up leading to the election of Guy Hunt, of course. But Republicans don't like Democrats picking our nominees. It waters down our party platform. And then you wonder, why is the Republican legislature in Montgomery not more in tune with the Republican primary voter base? It's because a lot of our voter base, the people voting in our primaries, are picking the more liberal Republicans on the ballot. And that's the whole problem.
Well, what do you say to the critics out there who say that this does, in the long run, or maybe even the short term, if you listen to some of the floor speeches yesterday, hurt Republicans?
I mean, that's ridiculous. There's party registration in 32 other states. Does it hurt the Republican Party in the other 32 states? And this is very similar to the argument when I was working on my constitutional carry bill and people said, oh, my goodness, you're gonna not have people buy pistol permits before they carry a gun in their car. I mean, we're going to have rampant crime and murder everywhere. No, we don't. We were the 22nd state to pass constitutional carry. We had 21 other states ahead of us we could look to and say, what happens if this bill passes? And you know what happens? Actually, people were safer after constitutional carry. Who knew if you follow the Constitution that things turn out better, right? Same thing with party registration. We don't have to sit around and wonder what it's going to be like. Look to the other 32 states that have it. People, I can't tell you the number of times people have said to me, I'm a registered Republican. I'm like, no, you're not. We don't have party registration in Alabama. But people already assume we do have party registration in Alabama. It just makes that much sense. I heard a lot of dumb arguments from the floor yesterday. And by the way, I was offended on behalf of the Republican Steering Committee at the insinuation that their steering committee is throwing people off the ballot based on bribes. That was completely inappropriate, completely out of line, and completely untrue.
Well, and you know that there has been a little bit of the Republican Party doing that, where they take people off the ballot. And look, there's probably maybe some justifications there. I don't know, but that seems to come up a lot. Somebody has a connection to the Democratic Party. 4 years ago, Trip Powell had given to Walt Maddox, who was running a nonpartisan election. I mean, how is that? I could go the way on it, but is it appropriate for the steering committee of the Republican Party to be that hands on?
Yeah, of course it is, because people expect when they show up to vote Republican in November, they expect that the person on the ballot they're voting for actually represents the principles in the platform of the Republican Party. And the race that was specifically mentioned was Ernie Yarborough's opponent, Doc Mancuso, being thrown off the ballot. That's the one that was referenced in veiled terms yesterday from the floor of the Alabama House. Doc Mancuso had run as a Democrat, been elected as a Democrat to the legislature, turned around and ran 10 years later as a Republican, turned around 6 years later and ran as a Democrat, and now has turned around again and now wants to run as a Republican. This guy is a flip-flopper and a party switcher. He runs under whichever party's banner he thinks he can win. He's really not loyal to either one. And the steering committee said, we don't want that guy on our ballot. That's perfectly reasonable for them to do.
Yeah, that's unique in that he is a previous Democrat office holder. I guess if you do party registration, though, this is my understanding that you got to be careful that power is retained by the party to kind of police who qualifies as a Republican and who doesn't.
You're 100% right. We don't want the Florida model. The Florida model gives party registration but removes the party's power to police who's on their ballot. And there was some talk of doing that this time. The Republican Party is a hard no on that. You could literally have Doug Jones walk in and qualify to run as a Republican, and the Republican Party wouldn't be able to remove him from their ballot. You could have a candidate funded entirely by Planned Parenthood running as a Republican, and we're not allowed to remove him from the ballot. Come on, that's ridiculous. The party has to be able to maintain ballot access. We've got to keep some level of party purity. I understand that there are going to be more moderate members of Republican. There's going to be the libertarian wing. There's going to be the constitutional conservative wing. There's your social conservatism voters like my parents. My dad's a preacher. There's all different kind of people that make up the Republican Party. That's fine. But what we don't want is people who don't know what party they're in, or they're clearly not in our party, but they run under our party's banner because that's the only way they can win.
Andrew, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Tell them where they can look.
Yeah, AndrewSorrell.com, S-O-R-R-E-L-L, also Andrew Sorrell for State Auditor on Facebook, and appreciate everyone's consideration for re-election as State Auditor.
Andrew Sorrell, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for hopping on with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride. On a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried.